Elise Castle.
Mike Jensen, I just said, I want to make sure my mic is working. Is this mic working?
This mic is working okay. This mic's okay. Okay. You know, we were kind of having a little preamble. We're both a little sleepy. I'm a tiny bit grumpy, but we're gonna try to find the funny because I want to do a little bit of a preamble to what we're gonna talk about today.
Okay, because I was also telling you that I had worked an event this weekend where I did not get home from work until 5:30 in the morning, and I felt very much like Charlotte when she was out all night, except I wasn't drinking and I didn't throw anything into a pitcher of margaritas and I did change into pajamas. But I just felt the whole time I was thinking that there was a time in my life when I would work a full shift at a restaurant where I got out later than I do at my current job and then go out.
Yeah, there was a time. That was a thing. I do remember like being in a cab zooming past my place of work on the way home at like 6 in the morning saying like, I'll see you in a few hours.
Well, I got in, I took a Lyft home just because I was tired and I did not want to get on the subway. And I got in the car and the driver goes, good morning. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he doesn't expect. And also I was fully coherent and not a mess. So he just assumed I was, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, when I lived in Atlanta back in the day, there was a club called Backstreet, and it was 24 hours, always open, always pouring was their motto. And I remember there being a time that I was headed home in a car and it was bright. It was like sunlight and there were so many cars on the street. And I looked around and I said, it's amazing that these people are all still up. And someone was like, yeah, Mike, they're on their way to work.
Yeah. So, I feel like every major city has a town called Backstreet that does after hours work.
Probably. It doesn't exist anymore, sadly.
Was after hours legal in Atlanta when you were there?
You had to have a special license. Okay. So this particular bar had a 24-hour license. And yeah, once again, I think that they eventually took that away, which is, I think, why it eventually folded. I'm really sad. I used to have, because I worked in a bar when I lived in Atlanta. And so I had like an industry card that I could always get in. And I don't know where it went. It's a sad thing that I've lost somewhere along the way.
I'm sure once you move out of your apartment at some point, you will find it.
So I want to preamble this, because we're going to just kind of like look back on season two of mm-hmm. And Just Like That. And I have to say, so we have a very dear friend who does a podcast leading up to Madonna's latest tour that I'm going to be going to in just a few days. Oh my gosh, that's insane. I'm going in like 2 days. That's crazy.
Are you going to meet her?
I will probably meet her. And I love the podcast. It's so much fun. It's them kind of like looking back at her tours, and then they've been looking back at her various films. And it was funny because the three of us were sort of texting each other about their latest episode, which is all about Evita. And I think I made some kind of mention of like, oh my gosh, I'm enjoying, this is like my favorite episode so far. I'm really loving it. And I hadn't gotten to them talking about the actual film yet.
Oh no.
And it's funny because when they got to the actual film, I found myself suddenly getting really almost defensive. And it occurred to me that like maybe I just love that movie because I can recognize the flaws in the mm-hmm. film of Evita. But I also love it so much that it's really hard for me to hear anyone saying anything negative about it. And I don't want to be that person to this season of this particular show, because there are definitely things about this season that I enjoyed. But I will say this, it does not hold up to a binge watch, because I went back and rewatched the first 6 episodes in fairly rapid succession, and it reminded me of you when you were watching This Is Us, because you watched This Is Us kind of quickly, right? Like you were kind of binging it. Am I remembering this right?
No, I watched it in real time, but then I think I stopped watching it for a bit and then I started rewatching it again. So maybe that was why.
I think that's what I was thinking of. And I was, remember when you were doing that and you were kind of talking about certain things that felt repetitive or mm-hmm. felt, and I remember thinking like, yeah, no, This Is Us, particularly that third season, AKA the most depressing season of television ever filmed, like probably is hard to watch all in a row. And it sort of felt like that with this season, that there were just so many things that when I watched episodes back to back to back, that I was just like, it feels like each episode was written by a different person who had a vague understanding of the overall plot, but didn't talk to anyone else that was writing an episode. And I understand that's me being a little harsh, but even down to the trick or treat episode, which is probably my favorite episode of the season, but we're in Che's apartment And it's pretty well stocked. Like, there's stuff in the kitchen. There are things on the counter that I go back now and I'm like, wait, where did all that stuff go? I don't know. You take over for a minute. What are your thoughts?
Two things. Number one, I think listeners should know about the first time Mike Jensen and I hung out, which I'm sure I've told this story at some point, but it deserves a refresher, was we went to, there's New York City has a chain of restaurants called Five Napkin Burger, and they used to do a late night happy hour. And it was very popular amongst us restaurant workers because from 10 to 12 p.m. you could get discounted drinks and food. And so we would always go there after work. And Mike had just started working where I worked. And it was one of the first times we really hung out together. And I don't know how the discussion of Evita came up, the film, but Mike Jensen presented a presentation to me about the movie Evita for about 30 to 40 minutes. I just remember sitting here being like, this guy knows so much about this movie and I can't tell him that I don't think I've ever seen it. So that proves that. And also I find it interesting you saying this stuff about this season being difficult because you and I have had multiple moments with our friends where we've been like, no, it's really good. Like this is some of the best, some of these episodes are my favorite in the whole Sex and the City canon. So I think it is just watching it back to back to back and seeing all that. And yeah, the continuity and the follow through. And Sex and the City fans are like fans of true crime. Like they are obsessed and they will watch and they will figure everything out. So I am surprised that that happened. And, you know, we get a lot of feedback from our listeners saying they love that we don't hate watch. So I think we should continue that and turn these frowns upside down. And yeah, but I do understand what you're saying about, you know, maybe Che had to sell all of those things because they couldn't pay their rent because Hudson Yards is expensive. But we'll start with things we missed. Mike and I had a funny exchange where a couple days ago he texted me the vet clinic that Che works at and said Che's vet clinic. And I responded with, oh, wow, you found it. To which he responded with, yeah. And I had already told you that. And I guess you stopped listening to me. So where is it?
It's on, I say it on the episode, like I think the second episode, I want to say it's 45th and 10th.
Okay.
And it's right across the street from the day that we had our pictures taken for this podcast, six some odd years ago. We went to a restaurant down in the village that's like a totally gluten-free restaurant.
Senza Gluten.
Yes. And so they have a new location that is literally, you can actually see it from certain shots from this vet, like right across the street. So I had found it by kind of like, once again, at one point you can kind of see a sign for something across the street. And so I had like spent a lot of time looking up, figuring out where this sign was and then finding the neighborhood. And then, yeah, kind of looking around in this corner. So I knew basically where it was. And it was funny that I feel like it was because this is another thing that we talked about, that I'm fairly certain that the first time we went to this vet, we were told that it was the Upper East Side. Like, I'm almost positive that they'd been at a place on the Upper East Side, and then they were like, we found this dog three blocks away, and this was the closest place.
They had been at Lexington Candy Shop, which is on the Upper East Side, and they said they
found
it.
Has to be. You can't put that anywhere else. It has to be on the Upper East Side.
Well, it could be, like, in East Harlem or, like, Flatiron, but no, it's like an old, it's an institution. So you can't just decide. It would be like
moving Scout to Brooklyn.
It would be like moving Scout to Brooklyn. No, but you know what I mean. It would be like saying, okay, well, we're gonna move. I'm trying to think of another. I was gonna say Pastis, but that's already been moved before. I don't know. But you
Macy's.
Know
Macy's is in Harlem all of a sudden.
Right.
So we had kind of established that it was Upper East Side, which was why then when I discovered that the location was filmed in Hell's Kitchen, I was kind of like, okay, well, that's fine. I mean, like, I get it. Like, at one point in season one, Miranda went to a bar that's in Times Square area, and they were pretending like
Smith's
it was in
Bar.
Pretending like it was at near Columbia. It's fine.
Knocking like, the door like down for Chablis at like 9 a.m.
Exactly. Things like that get moved around. But then it was funny that in that exact same, not in the very next episode, they refer to it as being like a Hell's Kitchen. And if you don't live in New York, I guess you don't know that Hell's Kitchen and the Upper East Side are not anywhere near each other. Like, you can't really interchange those locations. So, I don't know. It's just little things like that that make me kind of go, like, are we just supposed to suspend our disbelief to that extent? or are they kind of messing with us, or are they just not paying attention? And any of those, I guess, are acceptable. But yeah, interesting little moments like that.
I mean, it's probably one of those things with like when they were filming and location, or once they filmed and they wrapped, they were like, shit, who's going to notice? And then it's like Mike and Elise 10 months later.
But this is a thing that we also said a while back of, you know, oh, they didn't expect anyone to pause and read this thing. And that's perfectly acceptable when you were making a TV series in 1998. But it kind of isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of have to know that people are going to pause. People are going to dissect. People are going to know that, you know, Harry's mom died a certain amount of time ago.
Well, right. Even now, like, I'm writing this script for this musical, and my boyfriend was reading it, and he's like, hey, this scene is great, but like, you have to change that date because, and it was just a throwaway joke I made, but he was like, it's not historically accurate. And I'm like, who cares? But someone will maybe care. Yeah. When I'm a Tony nominated book writer, someone's gonna say that
was wrong. Like, she doesn't get to win because she got that date wrong.
Yeah. So another thing that I was thinking of, what, I guess it's more like not things we missed because we're perfect, but things that they missed. No, but like, whatever happened to Lily's music career? Like, she sold her whole wardrobe for that keyboard, and then like Lily Eilish just stopped.
Yeah, it's funny because that one was sort of a throwaway as well, that in the next episode they're like, yep, she performed that song at a talent show and people did not like it.
Right.
And it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, that was, I guess that was
like,
the whole storyline.
I feel like it would have maybe empowered her to, I guess I was thinking, you know, some fanfic is that you have Rock and Rock is modeling. And what if Lily just became a bad girl, kind of like in Gossip Girl, Jenny kind of became a bad girl as the little sister. Like, Lily turns into this child rock and roll star and starts hanging out in the East Village and playing at Arlene's Grocery.
Well, and it's funny, that was another storyline that I'm rewatching. I was like, oh, right. Remember when Rock was a model for 1.5 episodes? And that's not a complaint. I also want to say, like, a lot of this is just, like, just observances. I'm not hating, not complaining, just sort of, like, things that I noticed watching it again of, yeah, you have Lily, who has this, like, burgeoning music career that lasts for, like, an episode. And then you have, like, Rock, who is a model for an episode. And another thing about this, and this was something that I had thought about as we were finishing the season, was California feels like 8 years ago.
100%. I was going through so many things, and I'm like, wait, that was this season? And then the other thing that's interesting with what you're saying, though, about the kids and their careers, I'm using quotes, is, you know, in the original Sex and the City, I think we were able to bounce around with storyline so much because there were new guys every episode. You had Samantha, Charlotte, Carrie, and Miranda all dating. So we were able to bring in these new exciting characters each episode. And now with the style of television that we have, and also the fact that most of these women are in more stable relationships, it's like, okay, so how do we bring in these fun people? How do we jump around with these fun storylines? So it is just, and I guess teenagers too try something new every week. I was a basketball player once.
Yeah, it's just a different style. I think that it would be unrealistic to hold this up to Sex and the City.
Right.
Because it is a different show. Like, it's a different style, a different kind of storytelling.
Something else that happened after we recorded the episode is there was an article that came up about Sarah Jessica Parker's favorite places in the West Village, and she mentions Varsano's, which is the chocolate shop that Charlotte brings her caramels from when she has fake COVID.
And I still haven't gone there.
Oh, I walk by it quite a bit now, and now they have a little thing in the window that says, like, as seen on And Just Like That. But I do like that because I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker is such a lover of New York City and the West Village in general that she would do that. She would find her small businesses and say, no, I want that in the show.
And I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but there was a really, in my opinion, badly titled but incredibly interesting article that got sent to me by a friend of ours that was sort of like how Sex and the City killed Bleecker Street. Mm. And in the end, I find that theory to be erroneous. Like, I don't think that actually holds up. But it was a really interesting article about the expectations of the West Village and the expectations of the kind of influence that a TV show could have on a neighborhood. But the funny thing is that it kind of comes down to the reason why so many businesses that moved in and didn't work was because they weren't West Village businesses. They were like huge fashion houses or huge chains that kind of came in to try to change the neighborhood. And that was the actual issue. Not that these great little stores, they just couldn't afford to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I think about Sex and the City and how legendary it is in so many ways. There's a hotel that just opened. I think it's the Soho Hotel. I could be getting that wrong. But Sarah Jessica Parker was just there, like, at the opening doing this huge champagne pour. And
oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw the pictures of that.
Yeah, and outside of Sex and the City, like, yes, she did divorce. Yes, she's done Broadway shows. But think about other stars of TV shows that, you know, besides And Just Like That, I don't think And Just Like That is what brought them to be like, let's get Sarah Jessica Parker as the toast of New York City and have her do this, because she was on And Just Like That. I'm thinking of, like, you know, Deborah Messing. I'm thinking of these other female actresses that were iconic at the time in their shows that have been canceled. And it wouldn't be the, I don't know, I can't imagine a hotel being like, let's bring in Deborah Messing because she's, it's just how Carrie Bradshaw is still iconic after all these years.
I think that it's a pairing too. I think that it's that Carrie Bradshaw is still iconic after all these years. And I think that Sarah Jessica Parker is just such a vocal advocate for New York City. And it, like, she is kind of like part of the fabric of the city at this point.
Yeah. 100%. And the other things I have here. Oh, do we think another thing that we never really talked about? So Miranda and Steve have this huge emotional scene, you know, when they're at their apartment. And then we see them go to family therapy. Do we think that family therapy continued?
I'm going to guess no.
Right.
I'm going to guess it didn't go much past what we saw of it.
Yeah, it 100% didn't continue. It, because especially because Miranda has that moment with Carrie about, you know, talking to her exes and this and that. And I think it would have been useful. That's all I'm going to say. I think that mayhaps when you're going through all this, you go to more than one session of therapy. And then that leads me to another storyline that we had predicted that never happened, was that Miranda may talk to Naya about her divorce and help her with her divorce, and she doesn't. And were either of those divorces ever finalized? Why didn't anyone talk to Harry about it? He's a divorce, you know, all these <It's> things <true. laughs> that could have happened. And also another thing that we kind of dabbled in but didn't really fully talk about was the cats.
Like where all the rest of the cats went?
Yeah.
I hope they all found lovely homes.
Well, they were adopted from the Humane Society. I know that Shu, Carrie's cat, who's now adopted by Sarah Jessica Parker as Lotus, was adopted. But I'm just hoping all the other cats got loving homes too.
They did talk about how the filming of the cats was tricky because they don't film in order. They would discover that the cats had grown and they couldn't. Yeah. So I think they went through quite a few, and I'm assuming they all found wonderful homes.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Olsen twins where they needed two of them to film Michelle Tanner. And it also makes me think of how I found out that the newest Cats movie with the CGI, there's like a cut of it where they all have buttholes.
Yeah, that Cats movie, that could be its own thing that we talk about for hours and hours.
Should that be our next podcast? We couldn't help but Cats.
So I'd gone back and rewatched the first six episodes just because those were the ones that we had recorded before the Great Pause.
Yeah, we recorded those in 1983.
Yeah. And I mostly had notes on the first episode, so I'm going to go through those kind of quickly.
Okay.
Because something that we hadn't, I think we kind of touched upon, but maybe didn't, you know, quite punctuate, is that opening sequence, that there was a point trying to be made that certainly in the heteronormative couples, it is always the women approaching the men who are kind of like in bed waiting for them. And it was my understanding that was to kind of counteract this image of like the good wife waiting at home for her husband to come home. I don't know that it earned that necessarily, but I did kind of want to talk about that was kind of the intent of that opening sequence. I also just wrote, remember Franklin? I feel like that we need justice for Franklin.
I mean, yeah, hopefully maybe season three, something happens. I hope Franklin gets a good woman. And I also thought that part was about reclaiming the sexuality of the women.
I think so as well. I can't remember the name of the character from the first season that Carrie goes out on a date with and then he throws up on her shoes. Remember him?
The teacher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was to just get her dating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like Franklin was to get her boning. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was like a progression to get her from Mr. Big, well, to Aiden.
And so Mike could find a new lover.
Basically. Yeah, so I get it. That does feel like progressive. I also had thoughts rewatching this, thinking about Che and observing Che and particularly like Sara Ramirez's performance. And I do sometimes wonder if part of people's issue with this character is that Che doesn't seem to know that they're an addition to the show. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because I think that that's exactly how you have to play that character. Like, I think that Sara is doing a perfect job at playing this character where they've come along and been like, no, I'm part of this show. I am a main character. I'm not going to pretend like I'm in someone else's show. I am part of this. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it was a thing that I thought as I was rewatching it.
Yeah, I think it's like when you, I mean, I think there's a few things. I think it's like when you're the new girlfriend or boyfriend or partner coming into a friend group, right? Where like everyone's already established, or when you're like the new person at work and everyone's worked there for 15 years, or, you know, it's all of that energy that you're trying to get in. And we're not, we're just seeing it after that's already happened.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. And I, once again, that's not a complaint at all. I think it's the correct way to play it.
It's like how Mike felt at Five Napkin Burger and he didn't know what to do, so he just talked about Evita.
I do what I know.
Yeah.
And then I also, this is neither here nor there, but it was funny watching Charlotte get like into that corset and like pull tighter and then thinking like, and yet the Spanx were such a big deal several episodes later. And I guess it's a different
thing.
Yeah,
it is, because I think costume is one thing, you know, you're suspending your own disbelief and these are things you would never wear and you're in this costume. And when you put on a corset, I remember as someone who did some restoration plays in college, like you feel really put together and snatched and, you know, wow. And then your boobs are like a little shelf and they're like jiggly at the top. Very Renaissance festival. Uh-huh. That's one thing. But when you're just putting on a dress and you don't have any of those undergarments and you see something that you don't like, I think it's okay. And I'm all for, you know, I like to wear shapewear and I like to wear Spanx because it makes me feel good in my clothes. And there are people that don't and they feel fine in their clothes. And so I think we should all just support each other.
I agree. I also have very back and forth feelings about the marriage of Lisa and Herbert, because they are kind of terrible to each other, but maybe that's their thing. Like, maybe they're just so comfortable with each other that they can kind of say awful things to each other. I don't know. It was a thing that, once again, watching episode after episode after episode, I was like, these two are either very confident in their relationship or they should also be in couples therapy.
Well, I think we haven't had a chance to. I think if we looked at them, if we had known Lisa and Herbert as long as we knew Harry and Charlotte, we might think differently. I think that we didn't get to see Lisa and Herbert fall in love. We didn't get to see them in their honeymoon phase. We didn't get to see them with their kids. Because at Charlotte and Harry, we have all that previous knowledge. Or what's the word you like to use?
Institutional memory.
Yeah. So we know about that. And so then when Charlotte starts yelling at Harry for not doing something right.
Sure.
We don't get as like, do they hate each other the same way that people think about you and me sometimes?
And then I also, one last note on the first episode. It was funny looking back and being like, wow, Smoke really messed up her debut. Like, she really had a chance to have a dress at the Met Ball and she did not get that done.
No. Good thing for that bird that Carrie had.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like, and remember we were like, do you have something for this cape? And we're expecting like this cape. But it was right. Just more like this cape.
It's a cape.
It's yeah. A cape. Yeah, and the whole Met Gala thing was beautiful, and that seems like it happened 12 years ago.
It really does. It was, yeah, it seems like it was. And that was another thing about, and we could say that with Lily's music career or Rock's modeling career or Che filming a pilot in LA. These are all things, and I'm not saying that it should have gone this way, but these are all things that could have been a season-long storyline, and instead they were an episode or two, and that's not a bad thing. It's in some ways very Sex and the City, that things would happen and then you would kind of never get back to it again. It just somehow feels differently in this kind of storytelling. But you know, it definitely packs in a lot.
I started doing something that Mike Jensen is proud of me of, and that is watching 30 Rock for the first time.
Oh, it's so good.
And when did 30 Rock debut? But with the clothing,
gosh.
I would say like 2006, 2007.
That feels about right. Okay. 2005, 2006, somewhere around there.
Yeah, because Tina Fey wears a lot of like camisole, t-shirt, cardigan, which was the uniform of like 2006. And so even watching that in the first season, I'm like, wait, whatever happened to, that's completely different. And I think that we were much more forgiving of that back when the show was on Tuesdays at 8 and you watched it every Tuesday and it was 25 to 30 minutes long, much like Sex and the City was on every Sunday. Like, but now that it's sometimes, oh, I missed three episodes of And Just Like That, I'm going to sit down and watch it. And I'm going to go to this app and it's going to be convenient and I'm just going to do it. When before you had sometimes where people said, oh, I missed last week. What happened on, you know, ER or whatever? And someone would just catch you up. So I think that's a little bit of a different thing.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I have some quotes.
Give us some quotes. I only have one quote and I feel like it has to go last.
Well, I only have three quotes.
So you give me your quotes of the season.
So it's just, I loved you ruined the family scene. Like, yeah, I can't wait to use it this year at holidays. And no one's going to know what I'm talking about except for me. Just because the family scene, I don't know. It's just, and seeing Che so angry, just yelling that. And then the other two are just from a collection of, once again, I don't know if I'm going to release these as like love songs or a Hallmark card collection, but Young Old Poet Sphincter.
That's a good one.
That's a beautiful title for a young, yeah, for like a one man show. Or my other one man show, I'm Bottom, I'm Top, I'm In Love With You. And it's just a collection of Cole Porter songs.
That's very good. So the only other two things that I wanted to talk about were one thing that I had meant to bring up when we were recording the episode, and it's from the very, very last episode, and it was Carrie's expectations speech. Mm-hmm. And we sort of brushed over it and kind of made fun of it because, you know, it's not one word. But it was intended to feel like her column. Like, it was intended to feel like we're getting a glimpse of what Carrie's column would be if she was still writing it.
Expectations. And to be clear, I'm not talking about having dreams or wanting something to happen. It's so important. I'm talking about, you know, assuming things will go the way we think they should for whatever reason, because you never know what tomorrow will bring. And it might be greater than anything you ever expected.
Carrie, that was way more than one word.
And I do like that. And I do like that it is then, you know, sort of cut off with Che's comment of like, that's more than one word, which is also felt Sex and the City in like this sort of poignant moment that is then cut down. And then I guess, you know, my quote of the season that sort of wraps it up is from Trick or Treat. And it's when Charlotte is watching the Americans and she says, this show is brilliant. Everyone's insane. Which sort of wraps it up for me.
That's how you feel about And Just Like That?
A little bit.
I guess, so another thing I think I'd like to talk about really quick is predictions or hopes for the next season.
Sure. So the next season will not be on until 2025. So we have a bit of a wait ahead of us. But yeah, what are you thinking about for it?
2025?
Yeah.
All right. So I still got a chance to get on it.
You do.
So my prediction for And Just Like That is that I will be in an episode of And Just Like That. I'm putting it out into the universe. Maybe Mike as well. Michael Patrick King, if you're listening to this, I don't know if you do, but I think you might. I don't think they do. But if you do, I think it would be great to have Mike and I on the show as podcasters interviewing Carrie Bradshaw. I mean, come on.
I think it's a great idea.
So I'm putting that in my 2025 vision board that we will be on the show together, holding hands, walking through a gallery. But that's not what I was going to say. I really hope that we wrap up the Miranda and Steve. Part of me really wants them to get back together. I don't think it's going to happen, but I just kind of want that comfort moment. I see a lot more of Brady Hobbs on a bike just randomly strolling through. It's giving me like Mrs. Gulch vibes, but a positive way. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do, except it's Brady Hobbs. Anytime something...
Just smiling as big as he possibly can. He's always so
paycheck.
Happy.
Yeah. I also would like Carrie and Aiden to either break up or get back together sooner.
Yeah, we're not really going to drag that out for 5 seasons, I don't think.
No, I want Wyatt to like send an email being like, my dad's miserable. Can you just come visit? You know, or something like that. I would love, I don't know, maybe LTW makes a documentary that Rock and Lily are in. something interesting. Charlotte, I want her to take over the gallery. I think that Mark Kasabian's going to be like, I got to get out of here. And I would love it. Maybe they're doing it in 2025 because they're giving themselves time to get Samantha back on the show. They're like, listen, if we butter her up for a few more.
We'll get her in, actually in an episode. Mm-hmm. I do not think that there is a world in which that happens, but I love the idea of it. I love the idea of Samantha coming back and actually being on an episode. I think that would be amazing.
I think you and I will get on an episode before they do.
Probably. That is probably true. Yeah, I guess for me with Miranda and Steve, I don't need them back together, but I would like to establish a friendship. Like, we talked about it with their final scene. Like, they're just so good together. Like, those actors are so, like, their chemistry is so real. Like, their bond feels so real that I'd like for us to show that a couple can break up and even have a kind of horrible, messy breakup and still find a way to eventually come back together as friends. That would be my biggest hope for the third season.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that must be how people feel about us whenever we come to the end. They're like, they're just so good together. I want to hear more.
So there we go. That's season two. We'll, you know, be back probably at some point if we hear new information. And then, of course, you can also always check out our Patreon.
Yeah, our Patreon podcast. Our Patreon is back. I mean, it wasn't ever gone. Luckily for us, we had recorded a bunch of stuff, so we were able to still produce that during the strike. But I don't know, especially since there's going to be more time in 2024, there's going to be some fun stuff on that Patreon, I bet.
Yeah, check it out. We're having a good time.
Yeah, serendipity is what we're talking about at the current moment. So if you really want to see Aiden playing some oboe mysteriously while him and Natasha both get dumped again, it's a great yeah. It's a great pod to listen to for the holiday season. Gift it to yourself this year. $4
Absolutely.
A month. We'll be back probably next year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
And, you know, love and joy to all.
That was inspirational. And you know.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye. You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other.
You move out of your apartment at some point, you will find it. I sounded like a robot. You will find it.
Okay, well, you know, speaking of sounding like a robot, we'll get there. Ooh, balloons.
What? Why'd that happen?
Where did those balloons come from? I don't know what just happened, everyone. Just balloons suddenly appeared on my screen. By a quick... Ooh, you just flipped over. Whoa, you're flipping again.
Sorry.
Lisa's going... Whoop. Also, I want to acknowledge the car alarm that's been going off for the last couple of minutes. That's
I haven't heard it.
Little New York sound effect. Okay, good.
Yeah, and you haven't heard the beep because I think the beep has stopped.
The beep has stopped.
There's been a beep
the
in
beep
my hallway.
Does not go on.
And that is not a euphemism. Can I come over? There's a beep in my hallway.
Want to ring my Liberty Bell?
Thank you, Mike.